Well, you're a wonderful sight to see out there.
A lot of Helen Dewey's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and loved ones. The lady that did this floral arrangement asked me, she said, do I want to put something on it that says mother or mom? I said, do you have anything that says mama? She said, no. I said, then don't put anything on it because she's our mama. That's what we called her. Mama was born April the 8th, 1911, in a little town called Levitt, Alberta, Canada. She named me Alberta because she had been born in Alberta, Canada. When she was born, she weighed 12 pounds. She was a big baby. But when she was 4 months old, she got the whooping cough. And she got very sick, and she got so thin, they said that they could hold her up and see through her if they held her up to a light. And I remember Mama saying, they said I was so little I could fit in a fruit jar. But anyway, the doctors didn't give them any hope for her to live, but they had a family friend, and he said, why don't you try giving her mare's milk? And her father said, well, we have horses, and we have a mare. And so they went out and they milked the mare, and they gave my mother mare's milk, and she lived. So I think maybe that's why she had such a love for horses. All of her life she had a great love for horses. They didn't start school till they were about 7 years old in Canada, because they had to ride a horse to school about 5 miles. And so it was quite an experience for a child to go to school up there in that cold weather. And my mom's dad he went to an auction and he bought this horse. And it was an Indian buckskin pony is what it was, and they named him Buck. He had one blue eye and one brown eye. He was blind in the blue eye, but he saw very well in the brown eye. And so they decided that he bought the horse so the girls could ride him to school. Well, the horse wouldn't let anybody near him. He had been rode in a rodeo, and he had nail prints on his back where they had put nails under the saddle, and he had sores on his side where they had hit him with the spurs, and he hated men because of that. He wouldn't let a man get close to him. But Mama decided one day she was going to go out and see if she could tame old Buck. She got a bucket of oats and walked out in the pasture and found him, and she put some oats in her hand and walked up to him, and he ate out of her hand. And then pretty soon he ate the whole bucket of oats, and before he knew it, she had a bridle on him. And she got on him, and he didn't do anything. She just started to ride him, and he was just as good with her as anything could possibly be. And when she rode him up to the house and the family saw Mama on old Buck, they were just absolutely amazed. But whenever the men would walk up to him, he would shy away and stay away from them. So Mama, they started school, and one cold winter morning, they started out on the ride for school, and Hattie was in the front and Mama was in the back. And they said, get up, Buck. And he started off in a startle, they called it his winter hop. He took off, and Mama slid off the back end of him and fell and broke her wrist. So they had to take her to the hospital and get her wrist set. And she had her grandma and grandpa Atkins that lived there, and she stayed with them until her wrist healed, and then she came home. started back to school again, but still that winter, they didn't have indoor plumbing in those days. And when they would wash the dishes and things, they would throw the water out the back door. Well, there got to be a little puddle of ice on that back door from that. And one day, Mama was throwing the wash water from the dishes out the back door, and she stepped on the ice and she fell. And she broke her arm. So then she had to go back and have her arm set and stayed with Grandma and Grandpa Atkins again. And she just loved them and they loved her. But by the time she got back home again, school was about over, and she pretty well missed that year of school. When she was 12 years old, her parents got a divorce. And it sort of split the family up. Her stepfather was not very kind to the kids. And her father came down to the United States. And Mom and Hattie came down with their dad. The other children stayed with their mom. And so my mom came down to the United States, and she stayed with her dad's health wasn't very good, and he wasn't even able to take care of her. But she stayed with sometimes aunts and uncles, and sometimes she would stay with people that she would just live with them and do work and in return for board and room. But anywhere she went, everybody loved her, and they treated her really good. One day, she was out and about, and it was up not too far from the Dewey Orchards. And she saw a young man riding a big black stallion. And she looked, she didn't look at the man, she looked at the horse. And she fell in love with that horse. She said, "I've got to ride that horse." And so she found out that the fellow on the back of it, his name was Ted Dewey, and he took her for a ride on that horse. Well, she fell in love with the horse before she did the man that was on it, but she did fall in love with Ted Dewey, who was my dad. Also, not too long after that, after she met my dad, she was in a really bad car wreck. And she got banged up really bad, and a lot of stitches in her face and broken bone or two. And when her mother found out about it up in Canada, she decided, she thought the girls better come back home. And besides, Mama's dad wasn't able to take care of them. And so Mom and Hattie went back up to Canada. They didn't stay long at the home because her stepfather still was, he wasn't kind to the girls, and so Mama left. And she would go live with different families. She would live with different, somebody that would take her in. They always treated her very well, and they always loved her. When she was 16 years old, she was working in a plywood factory. That's when she got the four fingers cut off of her right hand. Almost lost her life, bleeding to death, running to the hospital, which was 14 blocks up the hill. But some fellow that had a bit of wits about him took Mama and wrapped her up to cut off the blood flow so she wouldn't bleed to death till she got to the hospital. Anyway, after she got recuperating from that, then my dad wanted her to come to Idaho because they wanted to be married. But she didn't have enough money to go to Idaho. And she tried to save up money, but by the end of every month, it was gone because she just didn't have that much. So one day he sent her $10 and he said, "Come." With the $10 and what she could scrape together, she had enough money to come to Idaho. And the Dewey family took Mama in, and they were just wonderful to her. And my mom and dad were married at a double wedding ceremony because Bill and Helen Vickery were also married the same day in the Letha Chapel. Then they went down to Salt Lake Temple and they were sealed in the temple. Well, after my folks were married, my dad had this philosophy. He said, "I was always made to go to church. Now I'm married, I'm going to do what I want to do." Well, that was a little concern for my mom because I don't think she planned on that. And he didn't want her to go to church either, and he started to drink and smoke. The doctor told him to smoke cigarettes to calm his nerves, and so he did. And so anyway, all the time I was growing up, we never went to church. I had a fun childhood, actually, believe it or not. I went to three different schools in the first grade, Idaho and a couple in Oregon. When I was about 6 years old, my family decided to move to Pumpkin Ridge, Oregon. And we moved there, and before we bought the ranch, the farm that we had, we lived in my first day in school, in the first grade, we lived in this, it was like a barn. We lived just on a little lean-to on the side of a barn. And then we bought this farm and grew strawberries and peaches. And then in the winter time, when there wasn't any income, my dad decided to go. He was going to try to get a job in California. So he went down to Benicia, California, and he was going to send for Mom and us kids. Well, he couldn't find any house for us to live in. So finally, Mama got tired of waiting. She just put us in the car, and we went to California and found my dad. And there's still no house to live in, but they found a tugboat. And we lived in a tugboat, and it was called Tugboat Annie. And it was right on the water, and it was next to a fish factory. And, I mean, you sweep the floor, and there was a hole in the bottom of the boat, and everything went through the bottom of the boat. Or you threw the garbage overboard, and the seagulls would come eat them. And so anyway, we lived there through the winter, and then we went back up in the spring to start working on the strawberry crop. There were lots of times when I was young that my mother received $20 a month for 13 years when she got her fingers cut off. That was a compensation that she received. And there were many times if we hadn't had that $20, we wouldn't have had money to put food on the table. I got to thinking that a lot of my life, I never lived in a house. I've lived in a tugboat. I've lived in tents. I've lived in shacks that you live in when you're doing farm work in the summertime. Most of those were like just big enough that they would have bunk beds inside of them, and the mattress was straw. And then we'd have a stove on the outside of this little building that we slept in, that we would do our cooking. And in the summer, we would pick beans and we would pick hops. And that's how we got by. My dad loved to party. And I can remember barn dances once in a while, that we would have a good old barn dance. And one time my mom and dad decided they wanted to go to a burlesque show. But they didn't have anybody to watch us kids. And so they decided to take us kids along. Well, when we got there and there were these ladies dancing up on the stage, and I must have been about 6 or 7 years old, I guess, And pretty soon, this one lady started taking her clothes off, and I sat there with my mouth wide open. I said, "Mama, that woman's taking all her clothes off." And I think I sort of embarrassed them, and they wished they hadn't took us along. But a couple days later, I decided I was going to put on a burlesque show. And so I got my Gertrude and Bill, and we went out into the barn, and we set up a stage, and we invited the neighborhood kids. And mom and dad didn't know about it, but mama come out when she saw all these people coming down to the barn. She wondered what was going on, and so she come down there and she found us. And she didn't spank me, but she sat me down, and she gave me a good little talk. And she said, "Bertie, when you grow up, I want you to set your goals high. I don't want you to do any this kind of stuff." She said, "I want you to live a good life." And I'll never forget that. I never lived at home after I was 15 years old. And Joe's going to fill you in on memories that he's got of Mama after I left. After my parents divorced, my mom married George Ray. And then George passed away, and she married Jim Cannon. And they were sealed in the Idaho Falls Temple. And Jim was the love of Mama's life. They had lots of fun together. They traveled, they fished, they went and got firewood. And Mama's going to be buried next to Jim and Jim's first wife, whose name was Helen, today. When Jim passed away, Mama married Ralph Dillon, and of course he's passed away. After Mama divorced my dad, she became active in the church. She quit smoking and she quit drinking, and she filled many positions in the church. She was a primary teacher, a Sunday school teacher. She was a MIA president of the Young Women's. She was a counselor in the Relief Society. She was a state missionary and always a visiting teacher. She did a lot of temple work in the Boise Temple, and up until the time that she couldn't drive anymore, she was working in the Boise Temple. She never hardly ever lived alone. She had quite a few grandchildren that would at one time or another live with her. And they loved her dearly, and she loved them, and I'm sure she was a wonderful example to them. I always felt if my dad had been active in the church, he could have been rich a half a dozen times because he had a wonderful brain on his head. But after they got a divorce, my mom went to the bishop one day, and she said, "I want to pay my tithing, but I don't see how I can." And her bishop told her, he said, "If you'll pay your tithing, you'll be blessed. I promise you, you'll be blessed." And she did pay her tithing, and she was blessed. And in the process of her being blessed, she has blessed many, many people. Sandra asked me to tell you that if any of you have blue eyes, it comes from your grandma Dillon, from the Woodruff side, is where those blue eyes come. Mama had a saying on her fridge, and Sandra remembers what it was. I knew about what it was, but I couldn't remember. It says, "Live simply, give much, expect little." And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.